Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
And now,
it's time for
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
Welcome to Inside Conan.
Hello, I'm Mike Sweeney.
And I'm Jesse Gaskell.
And we're writers on The Conan Show. And we found a way to get out of doing work on the show by hosting a podcast.
I mean, there's actually somewhere else I'm supposed to be right now.
Yeah, that's literally true. You're supposed to be shooting something for tonight's show.
I know. And I thought I might have to do that thing where you run back and forth between two places and I have to put on a mustache in between, pretending to be two different people. Anyway, we're here to regale you with stories about late night.
Yes.
And
this show.
This show.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah. Clips from the show, the stories behind them, intrigue.
We have disgruntled employees
we
here.
We have a lot of them.
And we're hoping.
The show's hosted by one.
Exactly. So it trickles down. And we're hoping by giving them the mic, it will diffuse lawsuits.
Yes.
Possibly.
And to all the people who just heard us on Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend and are now listening to this, welcome.
Yeah, welcome.
I mean, kind of everyone just discovered the show, right? Because it's only the second episode. But I don't know.
You Johnny come latelys. What the hell, man? There was one episode out for 6 days, and now you're here discovering us? Fuck you.
So today we're going to grill our director of IT, Chris Hayes.
Yes.
We're going to talk to him about dumb stuff that people ask him to fix.
Right.
Apparently it's 80% printers that don't have paper in them.
Apparently that's what his entire day is spent doing.
And we're also going to talk to Diane Harmon about her job unearthing bizarre clips for the writers under, quote, research.
She is sometimes ordered, I think against her will, to look up terrifying things on the web.
And we're going to ask fellow writer Lori Kilmartin to explain the Twitter feud she had this week with a giant celebrity.
A big celebrity.
Yeah. It's sort of a referendum on our culture.
Our times. The times we live in.
Yeah. It's actually unfolding. I saw there were even newer tweets just last night. They were going back and forth. They were going at it.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we might have to follow up next week on this.
Yeah, I know. If Lori's still alive.
Right.
And we'll also talk to associate producer Jordan Schlansky about one of the things he loves most in the world. Spoiler, it's not himself.
No, it's really illuminating. He was on last week and him talking, it was a nice coffee break for us. So we thought we'd do it again.
Yes, I think I'll choose that time to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
But first, let's talk about what happened on the Conan TV show this week.
Yeah, the TV show this week.
My favorite guest was the hilarious stand-up, Ron Funches.
I love Ron Funches. And he was just on a tour with Conan in the fall.
That's right.
So they really became close, and it's really fun to see them back together again.
You can see how Conan has started to annoy Ron. But yeah, it's always fun to have him on the show, and we particularly enjoyed this anecdote.
Yes, here's a clip of Ron that Jesse and I both personally related to.
Yeah, it was very triggering for us.
I thought we really bonded on the tour. I thought we had a good time.
Yeah, except for when you play guitar and maybe listen.
I didn't make you listen. I just happened to...
You locked eyes with me and blocked the room.
Maybe I did.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
25 fucking years.
I It's really just true. There's a it's a whole lifetime. People are like, can you put that thing down?
Yeah.
It's not what you're best at.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people don't understand that Conan is literally playing guitar at every rehearsal that we run.
Yes, every rehearsal. He used to just play in the office years ago.
That sounds awful.
My first day at work, I was waiting for the elevator at 30 Rock. On the sixth floor, I'll never forget, and Conan comes around the corner with a guitar.
Oh, no.
And just starts serenading me. I don't remember the song. And looking at me and playing, and I thought, I thought I was hired and started a job, but this is still part of the interview process.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to react a certain way.
Yeah, you had to perform back to him.
That's never happened to me.
Oh. Did you want to just turn around and get back on the elevator?
I kept hitting the button unsubtly. I'm like, come on. I think I took the stairs. I took the fire stairs to get out of there. I didn't know what to do. But that was fine. It was confined to the office. But then one day in rehearsal, I was sitting in the guest chair. And all of a sudden, he pulls out an electric guitar and starts playing. And he has an amp.
He plugged in.
And I was like, oh, my God, this is...
It's getting louder.
No, not during rehearsals, you know, stressful enough as it is. And now there's loud guitar solos going on. So the next day, I went to props, and I got one of those, the airport ground crew, those giant earmuffs they wear to... And I just, when he started playing, I put those on and I was like, this will nip this in the bud, cut to 18 years later.
He just played louder.
He did play louder. He started getting bigger amps and soon it was crazy. It was like a Metallica concert with like a wall of amps. And
so he really started his midlife crisis at like in his early 30s.
Yeah. mid to late 30s, I think. But so now he still does it.
He still does it.
And it's great for me to hear someone like Ron, someone who's coming into the house and saying, oh,
this is weird.
Your dad shoots guns in the house and you guys are all cool.
Your house
with it.
Smells weird.
Because we're all used to the gun fire. And it's just like, well, yeah, of course.
Well, and one thing we should clarify, Conan is a totally proficient guitar player.
Oh, yes. He's good.
He's good.
Yes.
He's not great. I mean, it's not like he's going to get...
Your word's not mine.
I know.
I'm always like, when's he going on tour for the music?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, and he learns new songs. And so sometimes he'll bring new ones into the repertoire. But in general, I mean, how many times would you say you've heard him play Creep by Radiohead?
I keep a log of that.
High hundreds.
489 times. Yes. And that's a slow, long song.
It's a very long song.
And he doesn't skip a verse. No.
Mm-mm. I think he adds a bridge.
What's the other one he plays when he's...
Well, he used to play as a punishment to us. He would play that Georgia Satellite.
That's it.
I got some change in my pocket. Going to ring-a-ling-a-ling.
If he doesn't like a bit, he's like, well... Yeah. Here's your reward. I'm going to play that song.
Yeah. No, he basically trained us like dogs to react to that song.
I think late at night, if you're working on a script, the big motivator is not, I wanted to get laughs. It's I wanted to get on the show so he doesn't
play So I can
play
avoid
that,
hearing that song.
That song. Now it's in my head again.
Oh, no. What's that? Steve, I can't hear you. You want me to sing? I'll do it if you want. Now I got some change in my pocket going ching, ching-a-ling. My girl, she tell me that she wants herself a ring. I said, my honey, my baby, love you the rest of my life. She said, no huggy, no kissy until you make me your wife. I said, my honey, my darling, don't put my love on no show. She said, don't tell me no lies and keep your motherfucking hands to your...
And now it's time for...
IT Fix of the Week.
Fix of the Week.
Fix of the Week.
So we wanted to turn the spotlight onto one of the real unsung heroes of our show, our IT director, Chris Hayes.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, Chris Hayes is definitely one of the most sought after people here.
He is. Fixing emergencies all over.
So in demand. Like people at 10 a.m., people are like, where's Chris?
I'm pulling up to the parking lot at that
point. Hey, I don't keep track. That's not our job.
Yeah, we're like, where's Chris? The internet is broken.
It's not working right. I need my porn.
So,
10 a.m.
So what'd you fix this week?
Someone called me with an issue with the internet slowness, and I had them restart their computer. Yeah, it works for 25% of the issues. I'll give you my trade secrets here.
Turn the computer off and then turn it back on.
Turn it back on. We call it power cycling. give it a little fancy twist on it. But power cycle your computer. It's basically a reboot. Fixes 25% of the issues.
Yeah, you're kind of talking your way out of a job.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's still need for me to do 75% of the things. Turn people's printers back on. Fill printers with paper. It's on the lower end of the things that I do.
Did someone call you because their printer didn't have paper?
That is what I want to know.
You'd be surprised of...
Tell us
the dumbest thing someone's called you to their office for.
Mentioning me.
What immediately came to mind, because you looked at Sweeney when I said, what's the dumbest thing someone's called you in for?
The first thing I do when he calls me about the printer issue is I go in there and make sure it has paper in it. I'm not saying that it happens all the time, but I'm also not saying that it hasn't happened before.
But I've always had paper in there.
No, I'm saying that there's been times you haven't had paper.
There's been times where that was the problem.
And that was the issue?
That was the...
No,
You're looking
not.
Surprised.
Yeah, you're mistaking me for someone else.
Absolutely not.
You know, this whole fix of the week thing
I'm sorry that this circled back to you.
This is cut.
I have to
be
truthful.
Who do we
want to
believe, the
this.
IT director or...
Or me... Of course I would check for paper.
There's people that don't have their monitors turned on and wonder that why their computer isn't working. Things like that happen.
Oh, that's great.
It varies. And then there's actually legit issues that I encounter.
Can I ask you, are you tracking how people are spending their time online?
I do not.
But does that information exist somewhere?
It definitely does.
So there's a log.
There's a log. There can be a lot.
That shows how much time some of us may spend on online shopping.
No, I don't think they're worried about those.
Okay.
Those particular details.
Who's that? Who's they?
There's always a they.
Well, it's no one in the...
This goes all the way to the top.
It's Warner Brothers, I
assume.
Well,
without divulging too much about infrastructure, because I can't do that.
What?
Wait.
Hayes, non-disclosure of the week. Non-disclosure.
There can be logs about everything if it's requested.
But we've never been told, hey, don't do this.
No, you let people do what they're going to do.
Oh, so you're saying give people enough rope to hang themselves.
Well, you wouldn't want anyone to hang themselves, but yeah.
So where do your loyalties lie here? Seriously.
To the job itself.
Who do you work for?
The job itself.
Yeah.
It's bigger than all of us.
It's bigger than all of us.
Right?
I'm just a cog in this thing.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Sure.
I do what I'm told. Everyone has a boss. At a certain point.
Oh, my God.
You are beholden to the bigger cog.
You guys are safe if you're worried about...
Oh, my God. Really? But we don't even know what we're safe about.
Exactly. You're fine for the time being. Just know you're on the right path, Grasshopper. For example, something that I had to track down was there was someone pirating HBO television shows from behind this network, and we had to track that
down.
They
know we can just share a password with them, right? What?
No, it was literally like they were hosting their own little server here because we have really, really good bandwidth here, and they were actually...
Wait, we do?
Yeah.
So Jordan was stealing HBO.
Oh, that guy does some crazy stuff.
Wait.
Is that true?
It could
Chris
be.
Chris Hayes, Jordan IT, crime of the week.
That's great.
No, Slansky's a power user. He's good. What he does is innocuous. It's fine. It's fine.
But couldn't you talk about it?
An innocuous power user.
Yeah. I can't speak on his browsing habits or anything.
Okay. Under oath, you could, though, say.
You do find out some interesting browsing habits. Just happen upon people's computers. I'm not looking for it, but if you don't close out certain windows before I come work on your computer.
Right.
And I have to look at your screen, then I've seen some interesting.
Like what?
Things here.
You don't have to say the names. Person. No names. No names.
I love everyone here. And right. I don't.
That goes without saying.
And obviously, no judgment, no nothing. Yeah. But there's certain things that I see and I go, I'm going to block that out of my memory so I can look at that person the next time. Because they know by the time I leave their computer, they know that I've also seen it as well.
Has anyone?
So then there's that moment when you're looking and it's like, you know that I know. Mm-hmm. And then we'll just leave it at that.
So we can figure it out by just walking near you and seeing who avoids eye contact.
No, keep it cool, man. People know.
Oh, wow.
So when you see something that you wish you could unsee and that person knows you saw that, does anyone ever say, please, do we have an understanding?
Or no, no need to.
No one.
It's talks. Already implied by me just not even commenting on it. But, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. there's a look, you know, the eyes get a little bit bigger for a second. Like, whoa, shit, that was there.
Right.
And it could have been for research purposes. Right. I don't know. Once again, right. I'm not okay. judging anyone.
All right. Very good.
But I do see some interesting things and I have okay. seen some interesting things. Some of their likes.
Are there sites that are actually blocked?
Yeah, there.
Because I'll tell you, you know what's funny is there's the fitness studio that I buy mm-hmm. classes from sometimes is blocked.
All right.
I think it's because there are sexy lady photos.
Oh no, you can have sexy lady photos.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Why is that one blocked then?
It could load malware on your system.
But in general, sexy lady sites are not blocked.
Perfectly fine.
Man.
Yeah, so we have learned a lot about our company structure, I think.
Yes.
Which is that Hayes is the boss of all of us.
Yes.
And above him, there's some kind of shadow organization.
Called them.
Them. They.
And they. I think they.
The deep state.
Is the right word. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of Conoco.
I hope people who work on our show listen to this just so they know.
Yeah, that they are watching.
Yes, and that Hayes is the conduit for
Big Brother is watching.
And to think twice before they ask you to swap out a mouse.
Right.
And also to just turn their computers on and off.
Or as we like to call it, power cycling.
This has sort of been...
IT Fix of the Week!
Fix of the Week!
Fix of the Week.
Once we learn that out-and-out porn and all types of smut are absolutely allowed on our computers.
Encouraged.
As if I didn't know that already. we decided to look into some searches, maybe some of the writers and some of our video researchers have been up to over the years.
Yeah. So after the break, we'll ask our colleague Diane Harmon about her strangest research projects in the name of comedy. Plus, we'll have another Joie de Vivre with Jordan Schlansky.
Oh, thank God.
We're back with more Inside Conan. Did I scare you?
I'm okay.
Okay, you look startled.
So after that interview with Chris Hayes, we decided to follow up and talk to someone on our staff whose browser history might be a little questionable compared to other staff members.
Diane Harmon, welcome.
Hi, thank you for
having
me.
Diane, welcome. What's your current title?
Currently, I'm the post-production coordinator.
Okay.
So I don't have to do too many internet searches now.
Right.
But
now
what
don't.
Did you used to do?
But I used to. I was in Clips Research for probably two-ish years.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two-ish years we'd like to discuss.
Great. Yeah.
That's what you've been deposed for.
Okay. Yes. That's what this is. Oh, no.
Pick up the Bible on the table
mm-hmm.
and raise your right hand. Now, we were curious over the years for comedy bits. What were some of them? I'm guessing there are searches you had to do that have stuck with you
in your mind.
And you might be able to recall.
Yeah.
Curious to hear about some of the more colorful ones.
Salacious ones.
Yeah. You know, I have one that immediately comes to mind because I do think about it often and I... and I... Because
Talk
I've
to
told...
Your therapist about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. I've told this story to many people. But there was one summer and I was kind of fresh in the job. I was shadowing another girl who did the same job, Liz Davies, and...
woman.
Yes, a lovely woman. She was going out of town this one week during the summer to go to a wedding or something. And so she was setting me up and making sure I was all good to be by myself on the job. And I was like, no worries. You can leave me alone. Nothing bad will happen. And also that same week was like the hottest week of Los Angeles's heat wave currently. And so it was like 109 degrees in our tiny trailer. And I didn't have Liz with me. And we... started doing a writer pitch this idea for it was based on a news story, I guess, where they had just come up with porn for the blind.
I do vaguely remember this.
Yeah. And the actual news story is that, you know, it's just narrated porn, essentially, really descriptive porn. But the writer who pitched this bit was that there was like a seeing eye dog watching the porn for his person.
Okay.
And like, anyway, so we had to find porn to go in the background of this,
oh, no.
had to.
This clip. We had, yes. to.
Had to.
And so, oh God, I just remember we somehow just had DVDs on our shelf already from, I guess, something that had been previously done. Yeah. And it just felt wrong the whole time, because I'm like,
was the writer in there looking at these with you?
No, he was not, because he felt very uncomfortable.
Oh, how did I guess it was a he?
Yeah. He felt uncomfortable asking me for it.
It was Jose.
Oh, it was Jose.
And just like, I mean, both of us are uncomfortable people. So he's like very apologetically pitching this to me and is, yes. already so sorry that he's asking me to do this. And I'm also like, no, I'm sorry. You know, like, I'm sorry that you're uncomfortable. So he asked me to go through. I mean, I'm not an expert on porn either, but I was like, do you want like hardcore porn, or are you just looking for like, you know, a pizza man shows up at a doorstep,
right.
whatever. And he got super uncomfortable again. And I don't know that he asked for specifics, but I looked
through. He
already
had time codes.
Yeah, he had time codes. But I went through hardcore stuff first, which was really disturbing. It mostly disturbing because I was doing it at my place of work, and just like there are people walking past me in the background, and it's 110 degrees.
It's kind of public,
yeah.
there.
It is. Yeah. There's a lot of traffic through that trailer. And our air conditioning had broken.
Oh,
we were like, there are just fans blowing, trying to keep the air moving.
Well, this sounds like the beginning of a porn itself.
It could be.
Call the air conditioning repairman.
Yeah, it was bad. So I'm just kind of
so
like
hot.
Pouring sweat at my desk, watching, going through and picking selects from this DVD of hardcore porn.
Can I ask an upsetting question? Mm-hmm. Did this piece make the air?
Yeah.
It did.
It did. But standards.
I thought it was all going to be for naught, and then I was,
yeah,
really,
well,
gonna feel bad for you.
Sort of, because standards absolutely rejected us showing any sort of like hardcore porn, even though it was like on a screen in the background.
Right.
They were like, we'll have to blur the entire thing.
Right.
And then you might as well have just used.
And then we just used softcorn. Softcorn? Softcorn porp.
Yeah.
We could have shot Jose.
I'm pretty sure the clip they went with, it's two fully clothed people maybe touching each other on the cheek. It is like the very, very early foreplay,
yeah.
is what,
wow.
we went with. So
you could have just watched that.
Truly. I,
yeah.
truly
those 12 hours
saved.
Of research really paid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, but it did make it to air.
And here is some of that infamous sketch. So Jose's idea was showing the way that blind people currently experience porn, which is through a seeing eye dog acting as a translator.
Oh, boy. Come on, Toby. What's going on? Oh, my.
Now, time well spent.
I think we can all agree after hearing that it was worth Diane's time
and
to do 20 hours of
lawsuit.
Porn search. But what do you look at? It's not just porn, right? What else have you researched?
I love when emails start off with, this might be a stretch, but, or like, I don't know if this exists, but.
Well, we do often ask you for very specific things.
Yes.
And this one, they were looking for, I think, like old, sad couples getting hit by deer or something, which was impossible. We actually found a lot of clips of old people feeding deer, but the deer never attacked. So we got so close.
So we had to hire an old couple.
Yeah.
A rabid deer.
Yeah.
And finally got the footage.
We had old happy couples.
I don't even know what that's for.
If there was
footage of that, that would be the bit. You wouldn't need anything else around it.
Yeah, that's the bit.
Mm-hmm.
Diane, thank you. And I think I speak on both of our behalves when I say we're sorry.
Your life is disturbing.
All right. You asked for it. This is all your fault.
No one asked for this, what you're about to say. But go ahead.
All right. We promised you more with associate producer Jordan Schlansky. I don't know why people keep asking for this. But we will deliver. Here is Joie de Vivre with Jordan.
This week we asked Jordan if he had a passion for sports.
Well, I don't follow sports myself. I am fine to play sports. I'm not interested in watching other
sports.
What sports do you play?
Well, I like to build my body. I understand how the human body works, and I like to exercise it to change
its physique. But what sports?
Yeah.
Well, I consider bodybuilding a sport, frankly.
Okay.
So you like to do some cleans, some squats?
I don't do squats so much. I have a regimen, and it's worked
Fartleks?
For me.
Do you do those?
Can you say that again?
Fartlek?
Now, you see, I've never heard that term.
Okay.
And nor am I able to infer what it might mean.
Me neither.
It's something that sprinters do.
I don't like when people talk to me at the gym. And there was a trainer that would, there was a period where he was working at my gym. He would always come over and talk to me, and I would kind of yes him. And he came over one time and he saw me working out a certain way, and he said something about farmer. He said something like a farmer. I'm like, yeah. Guessing him, thinking what, you know, that would get him away. And he came back a half hour later, having put together a big apparatus. I think it's called a farmer's walk, which I only learned from this experience. And he asked me if I wanted to do a farmer's walk, and then proceeded to put together an apparatus for a half hour.
So you work with weights, I bet.
I do.
Okay. Do you Instagram yourself?
No, I don't.
Hot shot of you
No.
doing
But do you have
curls?
Sort of a routine that you do?
I do. I have
that. Where did you get that routine?
8 weeks. I've crafted it myself over years. I've been working out since October 1996. Joined a gym for the first time in June 1997.
What gym?
It was in New York City. It used to be called Synergy. It later became known as Boom Fitness. And I don't know if they're still around. It was on 81st and 3rd.
I met you before you started working out.
Yes.
You were
young.
Yes,
you did.
Yeah.
There was a time I was working out when you knew me.
I think I'm the one who told you to start bulking up.
Unlikely. Unlikely.
It's possible. And I also told you to try to sit alone in a dark room and just
think. That was instinct. That's something no one ever needs to tell me.
All right, that was Joie de Vivre with Jordan.
If we do that again, let's have an egg timer and hold him to 60 seconds.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone needs more than that.
What we just played was edited down from a 36-minute reply. We cut out a lot of it.
And I still don't feel like I know him any better.
No.
That's the thing. The more that you uncover about Jordan, the more questions there are.
It's endless. He's the true Russian doll.
Yes. After the break, we investigate a Twitter feud accidentally instigated by our own Conan writer, Lori Kilmartin. This is a story that is still developing. Stay tuned.
Hello, and welcome back to Inside Conan.
So we had a little bit of a Twitter drama with one of our writers this week, and she's here to talk to us about it.
Which is great.
Lori Kilmartin.
Hi, guys.
Lori's writing the show and a really, really hilarious stand-up comic. We tease her because she has the most gigs of any comic in America.
She does. Possibly. She's squeezed this podcast in between gigs.
A breakfast show.
I have a son and a mother to avoid. So anytime I can be out away from the people that need me, I take every opportunity.
That's
so
good
advice.
So that's
your stand-up tip,
for aspiring comedians. Have a mother and a son. And you'll be in the clubs in no time.
But you also have you're a Twitter presence.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of people read your Twitter. And this
very
week,
funny Twitter feed.
We found out there's a very famous person who reads your Twitter.
She didn't. I don't think she follows
me. Oh, maybe
but
not.
No, she did find it. Yeah.
She did find
it. So what happened?
Yes.
Somebody tweeted they had included her. They had at. They included Stormy in the tweet.
So
they
said, isn't that called? So it's called like a snitch tagging.
Her.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't a snitch tag. No.
Okay.
They said, "Oh, my boss Stormy Daniels is going to be headlining a comedy club." And so I looked at the calendar of that club, and the only female performer at the comedy club that month was
Stormy?
The porn star, Stormy Daniels. And that's just, to me, that's a knife in a wound that will never heal, which is that female comics have trouble getting work.
Yeah.
Even when they're, like, pretty accomplished.
You Plus, know? There are so many other female porn stars who could headline. I just
Why
won.
Stormy?
Yeah.
It's unfair. It really is. So I tweeted some sort of frustration about that. And it's not a great tweet. I was more just angry.
Well, here it is. Do you want to read it? It's right there.
Okay. Doing stand-up is not a reward for being famous. Please leave the weekend gigs for actual female comics. Because she's doing it Wednesday. But I can see this going into, you know, weekend. Of course it would go into week. If she makes money, she'll probably get weekends someplace. And that will count as having a female headliner. And there's a lot of club owners that don't like female headliners, don't like female comics. They use them as sparingly as possible. And if Stormy counts, right. Well, why not have one that's hot,
She's
you know,
meeting a quote.
And is nice and is fun, and I can call her a whore and she's not going to get mad. And you know what I mean? Like, who's cool? She's cool, like a porn star, where female comics may not be cool like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, well, and this is her first foray into stand-up.
That's a totally separate issue, which is she's never done stand-up before.
Yeah.
And she's
starting as a
headliner. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's a second dump on stand-up comedy, which is like, it's so hard to be good and to get good.
They say it takes 10 years to even become...
Yeah, to find your voice. She's a performer, so she has live chops. She does live shows, and she's probably funny. So she has that kind of comfort on stage, which is great. She will
comfort
anyone who's
but with anything you throw at her.
Imagine yourself naked. Oh wait, I am naked. Well, imagine myself clothed.
But anyone who's comfortable on stage, that's half the battle of stand-up.
Yes.
So she has that. So she might be better, quicker at it. But it was also just like, you're not hiring any female headliners, but you're automatically headlining someone who's never done stand-up. It's incredibly
I'm guessing this is a club you wouldn't want to work at anyway.
Guess
I'm
what?
Guessing.
They just booked me.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait, so as a result of this kerfuffle, they booked you.
Yeah, they're like, we're a big fan. And so they gave me a weekend.
A weekend gig.
Yeah.
Where is it? It's in Texas?
It's in Houston, yeah.
Oh, in Houston. Okay.
Right. So, and I told them, I just want to do stand-up. I just, every female comic I know, we just want paid work.
Of course.
And this is not a showdown, and I'm not, you know, against Stormy or anybody. I just want to do gigs, like
every
other comic.
You just want more gigs for working female comics.
Yes.
Well, so your initial tweet blew up. And I'm reading here off of...
Because she quote tweeted.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's there's an article here on ET Canada, which is exciting that you made ET Canada.
It is.
So Stormy wrote back to you and she said, "Wow, so supportive. I am an actual female, but I'll never get women who just tear other women down. And I know it's not a reward. I've been writing comedy material for over 10 years. Would you like me to critique your BJ skills? Your whole foot fits in your mouth, so you'll probably do great."
My foot is a size 11. So can we go line by line on this one?
Sure.
Wow, so supportive. I'm not supportive. Like, why would I have to be supportive?
I know.
Of someone
why do we have
not
to...
a comic doing what I do for a living? Fuck you. I don't have to support you. I am, quote, an actual female. I never said you weren't an actual female. What I said is actual female comics.
Yeah.
So she's either dumb or she deliberately misread that.
Right.
Either way, fuck her. Sorry. And I know it's not, quote, a reward. I don't think you do know that. I think you feel like you're famous and you should be able to sell out a comedy club. And you might. And she probably will sell out more than I will when I'm there for 5 nights.
Which
May
is when?
Through June 1st. I've been writing comedy material.
You didn't say fuck you in response to that line.
For over 10 years.
You're warming up to her.
Writing, maybe she has been writing comedy for 10 years. That has nothing to do with performing
stand-up comedy.
Can that be true? It could totally be true, but it has nothing to do with
performing
stand-up.
I would demand to see her
stand-up.
Notebooks.
Yes! Do you think she submitted to be a writer on our show?
I would love it if she was in the top 10.
That would be awkward if you two were in the writer's room together.
Would you like me to critique your BJ skills? Honestly, yes.
Yeah. Sure. No,
I feel
that part
I feel
seems...
like
like that's a useful
that's genuine feedback. And finally, that's what you're good at, and thank you for offering it to me. Maybe I could look at some of your comedy and critique that.
Yes.
And then we've dealt with the foot thing. So her response was deliberately misreading the intent.
Well, and I'm sure that Stormy would be offended if, you know, one of us immediately started doing high profile porn gigs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because that probably takes many years to master.
I think the audience would be offended if I started doing porn. I think it would out. Not be.
I'm sure there's training involved. And
yes, I don't even want to do stand up versus porn. I'm just saying, you know, and I didn't come at her because she is a sex worker. She's famous because she's a sex worker.
Well, yeah.
But
so
she's a celebrity who decided to do stand-up.
Right.
She's just as bad as Jeremy Piven.
Right.
And
or if Michael Avenatti went out and started doing stand-up.
Oh, my God. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But I didn't mention that she's a sex worker, but people then decided I was anti-sex workers. Like, you brought it up, not me. I am just as appalled when actors decide they're going to do stand-up and are given headline gigs. I'm disgusted with Jeremy Piven's career. It's awful.
But that usually just flames out right away, right?
It usually does.
Yeah. So it's...
Yeah.
But it's a blip.
One degree worse when it's a woman and it's... in a business that barely hires the women that do actually do the work. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I think she could turn out to be a great observational comic.
It's true.
What's the deal with these fluffers?
Relatable.
What about that low angle shot? Does it have to be in every film?
Camera dildos. What's up with those?
There's anyone who I want to hear the difference between men and women, it's Stormy Daniels, right? She knows better than any of us.
But I do think it'll resolve itself because she's either good at it or she's not. It won't.
But even
the show will speak for itself.
Comedy is subjective.
Right.
So if people come out of her show and say it was great, then it was great. It doesn't even.
Well, they are the people that would pay to go see Stormy Daniels.
They're probably not the people that are going to pay a female headliner that they haven't heard of goes. Mm-hmm. Do stand up, you know? The guy, you know, it's just probably not the same audience. And she can probably sell out a bunch
like
of comedy
a great
clubs.
Date night.
But should she? And it's an irritation with her. It's like, you can sell out strip clubs. Why are you coming to our place where we can barely get work and taking our stuff too? I don't know.
Okay, please, everybody, follow Lori. Her Twitter is at AnyLori.
Yeah, AnyLori16.
Yes, and you're hilarious on Twitter. And you've written two books.
I have.
Yeah, and they're great.
Thanks. One of them's
very
called
funny.
Shitty Mom, and it's a parenting book. And the other one's called Dead People Suck, and it's a comedic memoir about hospice cancer, losing a parent.
I went to a reading. It's dark and very funny.
Oh, you were at that? Was really cool of you to be there. I really appreciated
my pleasure.
That.
I'm a big fan.
Nice.
I bought the book.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, I bought it as well.
You guys don't have to read it.
After the reading.
All I ask is that people buy it. Reading is, that's optional.
Well, done and done.
I looked at the cover art.
Lori, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Lori, thank you.
You're hilarious every day in the office.
Yes.
Oh, thanks, guys.
And that is it for our show this week.
What?
Wow, that went by so fast.
That's crazy. And somehow, if this wasn't enough of us, please listen to us on Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend.
Yeah, if you haven't already listened to that, Conan O'Brien is very funny and has his own podcast.
Yes.
Maybe you didn't know that because you just are fans of us.
Right. You'll be shocked to learn he also is in the podcast business.
And he's quite good at it.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
And also, if you go over to teamcoco.com, you can see other hilarious comedy from the week. We had some really fun...
On
live
the TV
sketches.
Show.
Yeah. There was one particular sketch that I really loved that was called Ask Me Anything Except What Happened at the Lake House that weekend.
Yes, it's very funny. It's Conan taking questions from the audience.
Yeah, it was written by Todd Levin.
Todd Levin, really funny sketch.
So go check it out.
Yes.
It's teamcoco.com. That's .com. And we'll also put a link in the show notes for this episode.
I'm sick of spoon feeding everyone.
Yeah, I know. Haven't you heard of Google?
Yeah, man.
So we hope that we've given you a good glance behind the curtain here at Conan. And I got out of doing some work, which was great.
Yes, you still have to do that.
I do. I know. I'm already getting texts about it.
Yeah, I
saw
you checking your
phone.
I guess saying you're doing a podcast doesn't really work.
It doesn't get me. I know.
Try it by Conan at 2. When we're rehearsing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not ready.
Sorry, Conan, I couldn't be there. I was shooting my hit podcast.
Episode 2.
Episode 2.
Thanks for listening.
We like you.
Oh. Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast, is hosted by me, Mike Sweeney, and Jesse Gaskell.
It's produced by Julia Smith and Kevin Bartelt.
Engineered by Will Becton.
Mixed by Ryan Connor.
Supervising producer is Aaron Blayart.
Executive produced by Adam Sachs and executive producer Jeff Ross at Team Coco. And Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon at Earwolf.
Thanks to Jimmy Vivino for our theme music and interstitials.
You can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
And of course, please subscribe and tell a friend to listen to Inside Conan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or whatever platform you like best.
You choose.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.